Welcome to NFL Total Access, the locker room. I'm Michael Robinson.
And I'm Mike Garofalo.
Today, we got a three-time Super Bowl champion, Jeezy, running back LeGarrette Blount on the podcast today. And we're going to let you guys in on what players and coaches really talk about inside the locker room. And guys, you're in for a treat. LeGarrette talks about really how ruthless Bill Belichick can be, but also how much of a playful side and how much of a real guy he is, Jeezy.
Yeah, and as a guy that bounced around throughout his career and been at different locker rooms, he talks about the different vibes, certainly in New England, when you've been somewhere that's not as disciplined, and then you go somewhere that's also not as disciplined, but they're successful. Many ways to skin a cat. LeGarrette Blount talks about it all.
And we'd like to welcome, not one-time Super Bowl champion, not two, Jeezy, three-time Super Bowl champion, one of my all-time favorite runners of the National Football League history. Yeah, I'm going to say it, Jeezy. History, okay? Let's welcome to the podcast, LeGarrette Blount. What's going on, big dog?
Man, what's good with you, dog? Man, I appreciate y'all having me, man. It's a pleasure. A pleasure.
Man, glad to have you on. Look, I follow you on social media. I see all your Facebook posts. I see how sometimes you got to remind people of who you are and what you've done in this league or whatever. Right. But before we get into all of that, we start every podcast with a locker room story. And like I told you before, nothing that goes on TV, you know, that PG-13 stuff that go on TV. Nah, we don't do that. We peel the layers back a little bit. We give we keep it 100 back here. So let's bless the podcast with your locker room story, big dog.
All right. So this is rookie year LG.
Okay.
You know, this is when I first met Aqib Tlaib, Mike Williams, you know, Ernest Graham, all those Cadillac, all them guys. So me growing up in Florida, growing up where I grew up at, it was everything was, you know, fried. It was, you know, we're not, the only greens we get in with the food is collard greens, mustard greens, like them the greens we eating, you know, maybe some green beans here and there.
Yeah.
But I was the only boy. My mom had a daughter and my aunt had three daughters. So it was them four and me. So I was kind of, and I'm kind of spoiled, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't have to eat the green. They might cook me something different. So when I got to the league, you know, and at Oregon, you know what that is, you know, you eat steak, you eating good chicken, you eating good at Oregon. So, but you know, when you get to the league, that it changes. It don't taste the same.
No.
So I went to, I got to the Buccaneers, you know, after I got picked up from getting waived with the Titans. I got to the Buccaneers and, you know, they putting the meal plans and stuff together. And I'm not used to this stuff. You know, they putting, you know, celery on my plate and, you know, grilled chicken with all kind of sauces and stuff on top of it. And I'm not eating this. So in training camp, I'm losing 12 pounds a day.
What?
Going down, man. Going down. And so I'm like, man, I gotta be able to keep the weight up, because they're telling me, like, man, you dropping weight too fast and it's not coming back. You know, so they trying to tell me, you know, we might have to keep you out of practice this day, we might have to do this, that, and the other. I'm like, man, I gotta participate in it. I'm an undrafted free agent, I gotta be out there. And so I came up with the solution, you know, after every practice. You know, I ain't gonna say the other guys who participated, you know what I'm saying? I had a couple participants with me because they grew up kind of the same way. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with a solution. I'm like, shoot, after football practice, I'm gonna just have the wifey meet me up here at the facility, bring me some Wendy's.
No, not Wendy's, dog.
Man, I mean, come on. Bring me some Wendy's. I'm gonna hit the Wendy's and then I'm gonna go back in there and weigh in after, you know, for after practice and stuff. You know, you gotta weigh in after practice and stuff. And so me and my two homies, we did that for about 4 or 5 weeks before we got busted. So I'm getting a double cheeseburger, French fries, they getting chicken sandwiches, French fries. We eating this almost every day.
Bruh.
Almost every day until we get busted. And how we got busted is the The wifey came in to bring, like, to meet me and bring the food, and Raheem walked outside at the same time. He said, "Who you getting this for? Who y'all bringing this for?" Hey, and I ain't had no. I'm like, man, we in the middle of the exchange, and we catch our eyes. I'm like, man, damn. Like, he was like, "Oh, this how you getting the weight back? This how you getting the weight back?" And I was the one that got busted. You know how it go from there. You know, it is what it is. I take full responsibility there for that. And in the bag, it's two double cheeseburgers, a chicken sandwich, fries, and I'm like, that's all me.
Hey, you ain't snitching nobody, dog. That's a good part about it.
I gotta take that L. And from then on, if I get caught with the Wendy's or something like that, the fast food at the facility, they tax my pockets, man.
Well, I mean, why can't you eat that? I mean, why can't you eat? I mean, listen, I know maybe if Brady caught you years later, he'd look at you a certain way eating that stuff. But like. Whatever you got to eat to keep the weight on. Why do they care?
Man, I think it's a health thing. You know, eating all that right there probably give you the bad arteries. You know,
I get it.
You know, you get heart attacks, all that bad stuff. So, you know, that was my. You know, I know I understand why they wanted it that way. You know, eventually I adapted to eating the different things and stuff like that. But that was
dog. It was new to you, Jeezy. Come on, man.
Nobody ain't leading me. Nobody ain't telling me. You know what
ain't I'm nobody saying? Told us. I grew up in the same type of neighborhoods, man. Ain't nobody tell me nothing. It took me almost to lose my life. And that's when I became a vegetarian. And that's how I lost all my weight. And I am the way I am now. But let's get into you a little bit, LG. All right. You were undrafted coming out of college, you know, for reasons that, you know, maybe you don't want to rehash or whatever, but you know what I'm saying?
It is what it is. I don't mind.
It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But talk about like what your entry into the NFL was like. Like, what did you learn in those first few years? Like, how did those first few years set the foundation to kind of help you have a longer career in this league? You know what I'm saying? Because you had some mistakes, very public mistakes. You know what I'm saying? You were able to learn from them. And dude, three-time Super Bowl champion, it don't get much better than that.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, I was very blessed, you know, because I grew up around it too, man. I grew up around it, bro. And, you know, coming from a place that only had, 8,000 people in the whole town, you know, that's not a big place. And, you know, sometimes when you in places like that, you get stuck there because you don't know anything outside of that. You don't know anything different. The first time I traveled outside of that was, when I went to junior college in Mississippi, that was the first time I had ever traveled outside of it. I hadn't, you know, junior college was different. You know, Mississippi was different for me, man. And just when I got in the league, it just, you know, one thing that followed me throughout my career is, you know, obviously you got to start taking care of everybody. That was obvious from the jump for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had to learn that the hard way because my second year in the league, I probably fluctuated with the weight and stuff. And I learned that, you know, over time, you know, it's quick for you to get replaced. Like it's nothing for them to go draft the next guy. I learned that, you know, just being where I came from and going through what I went through, I'm knowing that, you know, I'm already gonna be prejudged. You know, everybody gonna have their preconceived notions about me. I knew that, you know, and I try to get rid of that, you know, just by people meeting me personally and knowing what kind of person I am. You know, and over the course of time, you just grow with, you know, becoming experienced and being a veteran and being around guys like Brady and being around guys like Gerard Mayo and Vince Wilfork, you know, and, you know, after 3 years in Tampa, it was a different, you know, scale, you know. Tampa, I'm with a whole bunch of young guys that are my age. And then I go to New England with a whole bunch of guys that are, you know, 5-6 years older, and they operating way different.
Yeah.
You know, they operating different. They coming into work early. They leaving late. They in the playbook more. They're not going out and partying. And I just slowly adapted that to my schedule and how I, you know, approach things. And, you know, that gives you the longevity and that gives you, you know, the opportunity, you know, where you can go out there versus the first 3 years, you go off and play off instinct. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of guys go out there and play off instinct. Oh, I'm just nice like that. Yep. You know, well, shoot, year 4 or 5, you know, now you got to learn these blocking schemes. Now you got to learn, you know, where the hole gonna actually be at or where it's supposed to be at. And that's just another one of the things that helped me learn, get longevity in the game also.
So when you go to New England, though, because it can go one of two ways, right? You can
love it resist. Or hate it.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment where you kind of said, hey, look, I got to buy in here if I'm going to survive here?
Nah, I knew right away. Once I got traded, so once Greg Schiano traded me, I was at LA Fitness or maybe 24 Hour Fitness. I don't know. I was at one of these places. I'm hooping. I'm in the middle of a game. I'm trying to dunk on people. I'm just trying to that was one of my ways of staying in shape in the offseason was hooping. Mm-hmm. And I got off the court and I see the phone. We got 3 missed calls. And I'm like, man, let me call this man back. What's going on? He was like, hey, man, stand by. You're going to get traded. We might have a trade for you. Da-da-da-da. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm not tripping. I go back and I hoop again and then come back. He's like, hey, man, you've been traded to the Patriots. Da-da-da-da. And I'm like, man, what happens now? I got traded, da da da. And right away, knowing the history of New England, right away, I knew that once I got there, I was going to either have to buy into that or I was just going to have a long, you know, year of football. And I ended up getting there and ended up loving it. Like, there was nothing about it that I didn't like because I wanted to win. I love winning. Like, I love grinding. I work hard. So that was right up my alley. Me and Bill got along great.
Hold up. I got to stop you right there. Hold up. You and Bill got along great. It was all fun. I mean, but you hear guys that leave that place and talk about how it was no fun. And you got to explain that a little bit, bro, because the thought that I have of going into New England is kind of like a military school or something. You know, you got to be straight. Everybody can wear the same thing. Everybody's robots. But you saying you had a ball there?
I had a blast. I mean, just think about this is why I enjoyed it. Like I said, man, one thing that was like first thing first for me is huge. You win. That's huge. I came from a place where I had just went, I want to say like 3-13 or 2-14 or 4 or whatever. And the year before that, probably like 5-11, you know, like I'm coming from a place that we ain't win a lot of games, but we got some cold football players. Matter of fact, the year that I got traded earlier in that season, I think they traded Talib to New England.
Yeah.
Earlier that season. And then after that season was over is when I got traded. So, I mean, and Aqib loved it too. Like, and you know how people feel about him. You know what people think about him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, from whatever he's been through, like in his life and his career, like, you know how people just, you know, that's just how people feel, like how people feel and think about you. Like, and we both loved it, you know, because, you know, obviously they think that we're not disciplined and all that and the other, but we loved it there. You know, Bill, a straight shooter. That's one thing I admire, because you don't get a lot of head coaches that's going to be a straight shooter. Like, they, you know, they'll talk to you, you know, they'll make you feel a little bit more comfortability and what you feeling insecure about. But Bill, a straight shooter, he going to tell you, look, bro, we're going to try to, we want to give it to you 25 times. Look, we might not give it to you 25 times. Look, you ain't going to start this game. You're going to start this game. You put the ball on the ground. You're not going back in. They, you know what I'm saying? Whereas some coaches are going to be like, man, it's all good. Forget the fumble. We're going to give it back to you. Like, Bill don't bullshit like that. Like, he don't play none of that shit. And that's that's right up my alley, dog. Like, yeah. Keep it a bean with me. Like, what am I here for? Like, tell me what I'm here for. You know what I'm saying? And you know, make you think about the game. He make you become cerebral about it, like, because he'll get you in meetings and ask you, you know, who's the defensive back coach for the Steelers?
He'd ask you that, yeah. as a running back?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, yes, bro. I'd have been in – whoever we playing that week, I've been in the meeting room, and he's asked me some crazy stuff like, hey, LeGarrette, and this is something that I might have not studied because they don't got nothing to do. Like,
special team. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. Like, I don't know. And he'll ask me, you know, who the starting L3 on the kickoff team.
He would ask you who the starting L3 on the kickoff team? Yeah, hell, I know special teamers that won't know that.
He's gonna ask you, he'll ask you, hey, all right, Ray Lewis, the middle linebacker. All right, Ray Lewis just got hurt. Who come in? All right. Ooh-wee. He just got hurt. Who come in after that? Do the buck linebacker go to the middle linebacker? Somebody come in for the buck when they get like he asking you this stuff, like, and you got to know, because yeah. If you're not, he's gonna embarrass you.
So I like that. So are you spending your Tuesdays or Mondays or whatever your off days studying the flip card, the depth chart, the coaches? Like, you study
everything? Yeah, 100. I'm gonna study it enough to where I'm gonna know who the starting, all three starting backers in the backup. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna know who the D coordinator is. I'm gonna know who the offense coordinator is. I'm gonna know who the head coach is. I'm gonna know all the coordinators. I'm gonna know the head coach. I'm gonna know all the people that would be, you know, that would affect my position. And, you know, he might throw a random one at you.
I don't know about that one, though. I played quarterback in my life, so maybe you know, the way I studied, I would always study that anyway. But to know if a middle linebacker went down, if the wheel slid over or the buck slid over, yeah, who came in, and how it just affected the whole defense, that's heavy right there, Jeezy. I don't know about that. That's heavy right there. Now, look,
it's heavy.
You play with Tom Brady, too. You know what I'm saying? That's a different dude. You've seen him. You've seen him as an opponent in a Super Bowl. You've also been in the huddle with him. Just kind of like talk about like being in the Super Bowl then and being in the huddle with Tom Brady. How's it different?
So in the huddle with him, I'm gonna just say, depending on the situation, you might get something different. You know, if it's a tight situation, he's gonna be intense. He's gonna be intense, you know what I'm saying? If it's something that he wants you to do, you know, that's probably outside of the ordinary of the play, like, he's gonna tell you to do it. Like, and he's gonna expect you to listen to him over
what you coach to do.
Right. As you should, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now granted, if I get out of the game, if this shit don't work and I get out of the game and I get cussed out, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You know, the last thing I'm going to do is say anything. You know, I fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's going to be that. You know what I'm saying? And you know, he always take accountability for his mistakes, like when he does stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to get an intense. And if you're blowing somebody out, bro, he one of them people that want to keep their foot on the gas. Like, he ruthless, dog. He'll score 70 on you if he can. Yeah. He like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you know, a lot of people just know protect the ball. Mm-hmm. We good. We're going to keep it going. We're trying to get out of here with everybody healthy. We in the game. Da, da, da. 12, if we can, 12 going to throw that bit 100 more times. If we can, you know, he's going to score a lot, bro, just because that's his mentality. You know what I'm saying? Now, on the other side, as an opponent, I'm going to just say the scariest moment for me in that game is when he had the ball last. Mm. Like, I've seen what he do so much and so many times with the ball in his hand as the, like, in the game on the line and the ball last. I've seen so many things that he's done to where if the game within reach, if it's 8 points or lower, I'm going to be nervous. You know, whether it's 40 seconds, 35 seconds, whatever it is, I'm gonna just be nervous, because it's just what he does. He's just, I think you're the best, player of all time, hands down.
Mm. Now, you talked about he'll take credit for his mistakes. I've also heard legendary stories of Belichick calling him out in front of the entire team.
Yep.
You remember any of those? And like, what's the reaction from other guys? Like, if he can yell at him, he can yell at me.
And I remember, I don't know exactly what play it was, but I remember him throwing an interception in the game. We weren't losing. I think we were up by a couple touchdowns, actually. And 12 threw a pick, and Bill kind of paused the film, and he circled the ball like where he's throwing it. And he was like, well, tell me, in what lifetime would you ever throw this pass? And, you know, I have yet to hear Tom respond to anything. I just see him just kind of just look at him and be like, and that's all you ever really get. Like, I've never heard him respond, but like, Bill, you know, what lifetime would you throw this pass? Like, yeah, everyone's Yeah, you're supposed. Yeah, you're the greatest of all time. What the fuck ever. And then if that doesn't even matter, I mean, this is simple pass and a simple concept. Just throw the ball to the wide open person. I don't understand. Like, I've heard him get at Tom now. I done heard him get at him a couple times.
That's so dope, man. That's dope,
gotta,
man. Like,
you just got to take it. You know what I'm saying, bro? And you think, when you look at it like, bro, if he getting that 12 like that, whenever he say something to me, I'm going to just probably just chill. Like, yeah. And he probably taking the extra step with me than he would. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Just get the fuck out the meeting. Like,
have you heard anybody talk back to him? Like, any of the defensive guys built a little different. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, defense guy may say something back to him.
I done heard somebody not really say nothing back to him. Like, man, Bill, what you mean? But I done heard somebody kind of get back at him by making an excuse for what they did. And he just shut the fuck up and just watch the film. Like, just shut up and just watch it. Listen to the coach and like, that's why you're in the position that you're in right here. That's why you're in this position right here. It might be like a DB get beat on a deep ball or something. Like, yeah. That's why you're in this position right here is because you don't f-ing listen. Like everybody be, and when that one person like try to make him like, you don't make it like, bro, you've been in the NFL, yeah. You've been in meetings. Whenever you make that mistake, you just gotta own up to that. Cause when you make an excuse, that make it so much worse. It's way worse. You know what I'm saying? And then when you make that excuse, everybody look at you like, bro. Like, bro, for real, bro. Come on, dog. Like, why would you do that, bro? Like, why, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, man, big, I had my funniest years in the league.
Take me inside the locker room, 28-3, you're down to the Falcons. What are you saying? I mean, you obviously still believed because you came back, but what's happening there?
It's not much being said. There was no long speech. There was no long anything, you know. Josh asked us, you know, do you believe you can win this? Do y'all believe y'all can win this game? Everybody like, hell yeah, like, of course. And you know, everybody thinking in their mind, like, bro, we got 12. Like, they're not thinking like, oh, we got this person and this person and this person and this person. Everybody thinking like, shit, we got 12. Of course we think we're going to win this. Like, and you know, you go out there and 12 locker right by mine and shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, you see him go in his locker and you see him just put his head down and just kind of like. And then by the time it was time to get up and come back out, man, you see a different facial expression on his face, you know. It's like he done like about to get in a fight or something, like with like a meme mug, bro. It looked crazy. Like, and that's when I know I'm like, boy, 12 probably finna come up. It didn't turn up. I know he finna. he looked different, you know, like it wasn't no huge speech, you know. Bill just made his corrections, Josh made his corrections, and they was like, do y'all believe we can? And then Bill just kind of looked at us, you know. I don't he said something, I don't remember exactly what it was, and then he just walked out the locker room. And Josh was like, you know, do y'all believe y'all can win this game? Da, da, da. And man, he got up, 12 got up when it was time to get out. He got up and had that crazy look on his face. I'm like, oh shit. And you know, the rest is history. He could go on there and you know what, you guys seen what he did.
Wow, dude, that's crazy, man. So, you know, 12 got up, you saw he was ready. And just that just the fact that he was on the team gave everybody life. Just the fact that he was there. Gave everybody a chance to believe. That's the Tom Brady force multiplier right there. All right, fast forward a year later, you know, another Super Bowl. But this time the Patriots on the other sideline, you know, you with Chris Long and the Eagles now. Talk about the journey that year with the Eagles, because they were underdogs. And I know Jeezy's going to like this. He's a Philly guy. So, you know, you had this. He loves the Eagles. So he's going to love this part of the podcast. But just talk about the journey and how that was maybe different from your other journeys with New England, because it seemed like y'all had a hell of a time on that 2017 team, bro.
Man, we had a blast. It's like night and day, you know. Both teams got the same come and go. They just get there differently, you know. And Philly, man, the locker room was more relaxed. It was laid back. I mean, they got a basketball hoop in there where you can shoot and, you know, compete with each other. You know, they got pool tables and game rooms in the back. You know, they got all this good stuff. And guys take advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? They got, you got the barbershop in there, like you got everything in there. And guys take advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? You'll walk by and you'll see guys playing pool. You see guys playing ping pong. You see guys, you know, on the game. You see guys shooting the little basketball.
Oh, y'all was having fun, man.
As long as we come in, whenever it's time to work, we get our work done. As long as if they ask us questions in the meetings, we can answer them, and we know what we're doing. We're executing that practice. They didn't have a problem. You know what I'm saying? We social media living at that point. Like, you know, we on Snapchat, we on Instagram, we on Twitter. We posted pictures in the locker room with at the practice and everything. And you know, that was a no-go in New England. You ain't whenever you come in the locker room, ain't no snap face, insta face, none of that. Ain't none of that when you get in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? Like, granted, like, you might sneak a little bit and don't say, better hope they don't see it. Like, you know what I'm saying? but in Philly, man, it was, man, you let your hair down, you hang out, you can clown, you can joke, you can clown and joke with the coaches. The meetings were relaxed. Like, the meetings weren't really, like, tense. Like, man, it was, you know, Doug joke around and clown with you every now and then. Like, It was just a real laid back and relaxed feeling. And that's why I could understand from both sides, you know, how you get there from here and how you get there from here. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I think it's a little bit tougher to get there from that Philly standpoint, because, you know, you do got your young guys that if you let that leash go, they might get out of control.
That's
true. You know, they mindset and they, you know, they focus might change to something else or whatever it is. But you know, that Philly journey was, man, that was a blast, bro. That was fun, man. I had Deuce as my running back coach. You know Deuce, man.
He a baller, man. Deuce, he had fun, man, too.
Deuce my running back coach and he a clown. Like, yeah. That's my guy, bro. All of our meetings was always fun. So it seemed like that season just flew by so fast. Always been the underdog.
Let me ask you this quick question. I know Jeezy got something to ask you, but I can't talk about Philly without asking you this. Because from the outside looking in, bro, it looked like y'all was split in that locker room, bro. Was it a Carson Wentz, Nick Foles type of divide in the locker room that year? Or was it just kind of like, you know, the backup coming in, we're going to win a Super Bowl with whoever is there? Because from outside looking in, it was like, I don't know, man. It looked like some guys want Nick, some guys want Carson.
I ain't going to lie. Even before I got there, I was a huge Carson fan. I just felt like he was just going to be that guy. And then going into that year, he played really well, continued to play well, become an MVP candidate for the season and stuff like that. And boom, the knee injury happens.
Yeah.
You know, we was confident in Nick. I was confident in Nick. I know all the receivers, and, you know, I think everybody was pretty confident in Nick getting the job done, because our team was just cold. You know, we had nice running backs. We had nice receivers. Defense was crazy. So our team was just nice like that. So we had a lot of confidence in what Nick could do, and Nick knowing the offense and being smart. I think one thing that really was obvious, obviously, because you saw it, was the fact that you know, Nick had come in and was successful from the jump. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how that rubbed Carson, but I can see how it can, like, create resentment. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can make you feel like, damn, he getting all the praise now, but I'm the one that got him here. Well, I think maybe some people felt that he felt that way. And that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. And I don't know if the situation never, like, got recovered from there, but I know that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Like, damn, bro, like, you should be happy for Nick. Like, it ain't like Nick finna come here and take your job and then be the starting quarterback next year. Like, it's you, you know, and they've told you that multiple times, it's you. So, like, you should be happy for Nick, you know. And I think it was times that we came in the locker room after wins and stuff, and then, you know, you don't see the big smile and the celebration and everybody else jumping and dancing and turning up. You know, you see the dap up. Hey, man, good game. You did your thing. And you see the bounce. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how their relationship was between each other, but it had then started creeping out that it was kind of obvious that, you know what I'm saying? I think everybody was kind of backing Nick at that time because he was the backup and he needed that support, mm-hmm. you know, and the person that I feel like should have backed him up the most probably didn't back him up as much.
Makes sense, man.
Go back to that game. Nick Foles is the quarterback who winds up catching the touchdown on the Philly special, which the Eagles tried to run the other day against San Francisco.
Didn't work out so well.
That's one of them one of ones. Yeah. You can never do that again.
You can't. Mm-hmm. That's it. You can't go back
that's
to the
wrap.
Do you remember practicing that week and thinking that you were actually going to use it? Like, did you know that that was going to be a huge part of the game plan?
I didn't think that we'd have to. So I remember going through it and I remember practicing it, but I didn't think that we would have to pull it out. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think that we was going to have to pull out that play. But we did, and I ain't gonna lie, like it still makes me kind of nervous thinking about it, even though I know that what happened. But yeah. Like, it's nervous because the ball get tossed around so much. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was nervous to me. And I was just like, man, I'd just rather run just a regular play. But you know what I'm saying? I'm like, on the other end, if you do catch him off guard, perfect. If we don't, it could just be disastrous. So, you know, if I was a huge betting man, I'm going to always bet what's safe. I'm going to call a player and I'm going to let my quarterback pick who he want to throw it to, you know, rather than him be the person to go catch the pass. But, you know, that's how those things work. You know, Doug is obviously like one of those offensive genius mind type guys. So I didn't know if it was going to work or not, but I'm happy it did.
Somebody, I remember the mic'd up. Somebody was on the sideline hearing that the play was it you? That the play was called, like, yeah, he was like, oh, yeah. Oh, here we go, like, oh,
right, here we go, either we're gonna get it or we ain't.
Hey, like, hey, no risk it, no biscuit, right?
They asked me, do you believe we're gonna get it? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, I believe we're gonna get it. I'm like, yeah, I hope so. I still believe, dude, I hope so.
That's dope, man. That's so dope. Jeezy, you got anything else, brother?
Well, you know, when you look at these rings, I mean, does any one mean more any more than the other ones to you? They all feel the same. I know Tom likes the next one. He always says that. My favorite is the next one.
Right. Well, it ain't going to be no next ones for me. I'm retired. Let somebody buy me one and send me a copy.
Yeah.
Of course, that first one has a different feeling because there's a lot of guys that'll go through their whole career and won't ever touch it. But the last one is the one that's more important to me because it might sound selfish, but I snapped in that game. So it's hard for a running back to go crazy in the Super Bowl, bro. You're probably playing against the other best team in the league. You know, So I had like 15 or 16 or 17, however many carries for like 90 yards and a touchdown. And I'm going back and forth with Deuce, like, hey, Deuce, like, bro, you got to let me get 100. Yeah. I said, Deuce, if I get close, I was telling him all week, like, Deuce, if I get close, you got to let me get 100. And he was going to, but obviously the game started going a little bit differently, you know. Now we're having to keep scoring and they coming back, and you know how that goes, so. And obviously, you know, it wouldn't be fair for Jay not to get no carries. So, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted Jay to get his touches, but Jay understood that it was personal for me. Mm-hmm. He understood that, you know what I'm saying? And I think Deuce thought we was going to get a couple more possessions than we did, and we did. And he was going to let me get the 100. I would have been too lit if I got the 100. You know that. I would have been too lit if I'd have got the 100. How many running backs get 100 yards in the Super Bowl?
Not many, bro. Not many, man. Well, LeGarrette, bro, I can't thank you enough. We can't thank you enough for stopping by the podcast today. Again, I remember seeing you as a first, second year guy starting to work out, looking at us lift all those weights like, bro, let me get this running going. I ain't doing all that, big dog. You know what I'm saying? To now see you, retired guy, three-time Super Bowl champion, and all the growth you've had personally, man. Again, I can't thank you so much for dropping by. But that'll do it for this week's episode of Total Access to Locker Room. For more insight with the Locker Room Point of View, check out the latest episodes every Wednesday and Friday on Apple and Spotify.